Welcome everyone to the Proven Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Church. I'm a music producer from Northeast Ohio. I began this weekly interview series to give you different perspectives from artists, producers, engineers, and other individuals in the music industry. In each episode, we touch on not only what has helped the person succeed, but we also touch on what has shaped them into the person that they are today. I hope you're able to gain some real proven knowledge from the show, and that it helps elevate you on your own journey to success as well. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 204 here on the Proven Knowledge Podcast. And I'm doing, like I told you, I think it's like my third in-person interview today.
Yeah.
Massillon, Ohio, Erie Street Vinyl, and I'm with Samantha Heaton, the owner. So yes. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I've been looking forward to this. About a month ago, I think I reached out.
And, yeah. No, I was excited when you reached out, and then getting into your podcast and stuff. I was, looking forward to it.
Yeah. So my idea was, like, I wanted to do something for Record Store Day, which is coming up at the end of the month. I think it's, what, the 24th?
20th. Or?
20. I knew it was 20 something. I was like, I should have wrote it down, but it's coming up here. I've known about Record Store Day for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And usually all I do is I like make a post about it on Instagram.
Yeah,
I don't always like do something like super interactive.
Yeah.
And where I'm at in Alliance, there's nothing.
Right.
Like, there's no, cause like downtown Alliance, I don't know if you've been there.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like pretty much all of downtown moved to the west side of town, and there's really not anything down there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So like we have the Exchange and like that's about it.
Sure.
And then in Canton, I'm not really sure because I don't come out.
Yeah.
Like Canton or Massillon. And I found you just through like hashtags on Instagram one day.
Okay, cool.
And I saw
good, it works.
Yeah. So I was like, she's doing her work on social media and I'm seeing all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's in Massillon. That's like half an hour from me, so
yeah, trying to getting the word out is the biggest thing, because it is, this is a little city too. There isn't a lot going on, there's not a lot to pull people down here, but record collectors, things like Record Store Day are definitely important and a reason to, you know, be obnoxious on the internet.
Well, it worked because like I said, it caught my attention
for
and I wanted to find somebody that was doing something unique too, and I felt like for the area I was like, this is a unique looking place. And it definitely lives up to it because like I'm in here now and I'm just looking around, I'm like,
isn't
okay,
it great?
It's pretty incredible.
Thank
and
you.
I also saw the photo, I don't know who posted it. It was this building before like you guys did everything.
And it just
looks like a completely different
We bought the building from there was an association down here that's motivated to get in small business owners in these historic buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Massillon, is it Main Street, I believe? I couldn't be wrong though.
Yeah.
But they purchased the building. They had the high school trade students come in and demo, and then they offered it a price. I had to fill out an application and, you know, my intent for the building was, and my idea got picked, and I got to buy the building and do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So it was great.
That's awesome. You know how old this building is? Like,
okay.
1800s?
It's early 1900s.
Yeah. Because I know Massillon in general is like one of the older towns.
Yeah, it definitely has a lot of history. Yeah. The people that live here are, they're all historians themselves.
Mm-hmm.
No one really leaves here. Everyone is really passionate about their little city and their big old football team.
Yeah.
And they do. They support small businesses. I've got, there's a couple of businesses that are down here that have been around for a long time because of local support.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to pull more people through, though.
Yeah, it's definitely a good goal to have.
Yeah, With us, Belden Village is a massive commercial, you know, metropolis compared to, like, what downtown Massillon's doing, what downtown Canton's doing. So putting my best self out there as a female business owner and getting people to walk the walk instead of talk the talk.
Yeah. It's always great goals to have, I'd say.
Yeah.
And kind of just recap, like, the initial idea for this in general. Was it something that was a long-term goal, or it's just in the last few years?
Music has always been crucial in my life.
Yeah.
I've always been in live music. I never played, but I danced. And record collecting came within my 20s and 30s. I've always worked retail, and I've always worked too.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a small shop. I love independent shops in all aspects. And when the building came available, I was really into my record collecting. I mean, it comes in waves. I'm sure record collectors know, like, you go back and forth with the intensity of it. And I love record shops. You go to any city when you travel, you can get a little chunk of the neighborhood if you find the record store there. And it's, you know, there's a romance to it, but you have to really love what you're doing. And I do. It's dipping into the industry on the retail side has been really, really great. So, yeah, it just kind of organically happened. And then I had to work my butt off to get it.
And you've been here since, what, 2021?
Yeah, I bought the building March of 21. I opened October after renovations and everything. This is my second official record store day. Because record store day, I mean, it is a big machine. There's lots of rules and everything. And one of the rules is you have to be open and registered as a record store day record for a year. So it was nice to kind of dip my toe into it. I didn't have any of the releases or anything. Sorry, I'm jumping right to record store.
No, you could go, because I was going to get there eventually anyway. I was going to talk about, like, what it means to you and, like, what you do here as well.
Well, I think it's very surface right now because it's only a couple weeks away. Yeah. It's kind of only where my brain is as a business owner in a retail store. I am a small shop. I'm the only employee. I don't have a huge budget, but to make the most of that and to get the collectors, they have a space now. They don't have to go up to Cleveland. I mean, there's some beautiful shops up in Akron, up in Cleveland, Square Records in Akron, bunch of cool ones in Cleveland. And then out Salem, is that past you?
Salem, yeah. Salem's about 20 minutes east, when you're headed to Youngstown.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a great shop in Salem, State Street Records. Josh runs that. And he's a good hop for me.
Yeah.
So it's... yeah, there's a need for it. And record store day, as much, I mean, it's tough being the only employee and having a small budget to kind of come up to the standards of what people think record store day should look like. But I do my best. Last year we had a big old party. I have live music. We had cookies. I got all the businesses around to kind of get involved. The tattoo shop did like a special record store day flash sheet. And so just trying to give people a reason to get out and remind people that supporting small businesses are really, I mean, convenience wins. I get it. I shop on Amazon, I stream, but if you want a little bit more of your product, a little bit more of your music, there's people really working hard to provide that for you.
And it's a big difference between doing those things online and then being able to come in here and actually touch the stuff.
To wait in line on record store day morning, come in here. I mean, it's a good time.
When did you find out about record store day being a thing? Was it until you became doing this?
Like I said, I've been a record collector for a pretty long time, and record store day isn't a new thing. I mean, it's been around for a while. It's morphed and grew to capacities I don't even think the people at Record Store Day really thought it was going to go to. But I mean, last year, when you can attach people like Taylor Swift, Jack White, like, we're talking huge megastars to something, you're opening up, you know, a whole world to people.
Yeah.
And Record Store Day, I mean, I'm not an expert on it, but again, being a record collector and now being on the retail side of it, it's specialty pressings of things, rare things, exclusive things that collectors want to put in their collection. Because they're pieces of catalogs of musicians that they want every thing they press. And then you have mega collectors, I had a lot of Swifties here last, you know what I mean? And they don't even own record players. Yep. So it's catering to the market in that sense. The list gets bigger and bigger every year. I don't do Black Friday. There's another one, Black Friday Record Store Day. I don't do that one. I celebrate small business the next day.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I only knew about the one that happens in April every year.
Yeah,
and I didn't really know about it until a few years ago.
Well, and following it, it's become like a huge company now. So not only do they have another event on Black Friday, they have exclusives that they sell. Mm. You know, they've got, they're a big machine now, and they do the best they can to keep the drama down, you know, with scalpers and stuff like that and leaking information. But they run a pretty tight ship. I learned a lot the first year that I wasn't able to, and I learned even more the next year. And yeah. I'm feeling okay about this year. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Got a couple years under your belt. Yeah. Feels better now. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. That's, you mentioned about getting like registered to be like even recognized to do it. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah. So with Record Store Day, a lot of shops don't do it, and that's fine. You have to sign their pledge, which is a pretty in-depth kind of release about information, about all of that kind of stuff. There's certain regulations that you have to, you know, follow. So you sign that pledge and you are a part of that community. So with recordstoreday.com, I mean, you have pretty much all of the shops across the U.S., not, you know, that are registered with them. Yeah. It's a great resource. But yeah, there's some hoops that you have to jump, and some people don't do it, and that's fine too, you know? But I'm, being the small shop I am, I mean, some of the things at the bigger stores, Grimes and Amoeba, I mean, we're talking about like going to Mecca, like with on Record Store Day at shops like that. Here, I just, you know, bring some local music in, and it's just fun to see people get excited to do something. And if I can provide that space and get some cool stuff in here for people to buy, I'm super happy.
Yeah. And like we said earlier, I think it's more about doing like the local thing anyway, and just being able to support the community and stuff like that. Cause I've been to, the Amoeba Hollywood one. Absolutely batshit insane. Can't even fathom.
Like, I'm glad you just said batshit too. Cause I've been watching my words.
No, you can say whatever you want. I don't care.
It's like uncensored. I'm not crazy, but I have stopped myself.
No, you're good. but like a place like that, I can't even fathom like the amount that they have to do even up with the amount of people too. So.
And I mean, I appreciate pretty much any type of record store.
Yeah.
And they are, I mean, and they do it so well, and it's such a good time. Like, and they have content. They're doing all of the things. Where a real season shop that all the cool people know about and don't really talk about, there's usually not content and stuff like that, but it's just as successful in giving people those same feelings. So there's a lot of room to stretch and play in this industry. And everyone that I've met on the Record Store Day side, on the indie retail side, the labels, everyone's just really cool. Yeah. I've met a lot of cool people through it. So. Yeah.
Hey there, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I just wanted to take a quick minute out to let you know about a couple different ways that you can support the podcast. One of the ways is by clicking that support the podcast button within your streaming platform. That is if you want to be a monthly supporter of the show. You can contribute either 99 cents, $5, or $10 a month. So that's the first way, and that's the more traditional way that we've had now for the last couple years. The other method that we actually just recently introduced is from our good friends over at Ko-fi. Ko-fi is a virtual tip jar. We have set our limit to a minimum of $10, but you can go make one-time, one-off donations. So if you visit ko-fi.com/theprovenknowledgepodcast, you'll be able to donate. And all these different forms of donation go towards getting new guests every single week, getting potential sponsors on board to do giveaways, and overall just making the show better for you guys. So if you want to do that Ko-fi link, it's ko-fi.com/theprovenknowledgepodcast. Otherwise, again, look for that support the podcast button in your streaming platform if you'd like to be a monthly supporter. And I just want to say thank you guys for your contributions. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode. See, a lot of these questions are for me too, because I feel like I missed this whole era of music. Sure. Like I didn't get to be around for any of that stuff. Like when I was young, it was like we were transitioning from CDs to the iPod. Because I remember when the iPod came out, people were like, this is incredible. Yeah. Like, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen.
Absolutely.
So, but to be able to do this and then obviously be able to, like, interview independent artists and people that are coming up. And a lot of the discussion is, like, how do we stand out from the rest of the people? Yeah. And a lot of it is like, well, we should go back to the physical music.
Well, it's, it's definitely, again, records have always been a part of my life in some shape or form. But when it comes to music and genres and artists, you are going to, if you have the capital to make a physical media, you're going to make more selling that than streaming. You got to put the work in on streaming. But like most of the new vinyl that I buy, I'm proudly to say it mostly comes from independent artists, smaller distributors, smaller labels directly from the artists, making that line as short as I can for the consumer. So you can, I mean, you can go to anybody's Bandcamp and buy, you know,
Pay like $5,
exactly, get the album. That kind of stuff. But again, the margin for them to make what they make on an album versus what they can do streaming. And concerts too. I feel like concerts, it's like, I mean, that's another space where they can really make a lot of money, selling merch, selling the tickets. But even now with the festivals and stuff, you're seeing people's pay get cut even there. So again, getting people connected to their music the shortest way possible. And physical media, I mean, record, there is, you have to slow down. You have to take care of it. And I stream all, you know, in the car. I listen to Spotify.
Convenience.
Yeah, it's convenience. I don't share my Spotify Wrapped, though. I don't.
I don't either. Honestly, I gave up on that.
I have three kids, and they really mess with me. They mess my algorithm pretty hard.
And I definitely don't share my Spotify for artists. I'm like, no, I'm good on that. But
I'll share music when I want to, like, send in a text to my brothers or, like, check this person out. But if you want to properly support an artist, you need to buy their stuff. You need, and unless you can get it at the merch table at the show, there's going to be an independent retailer that has access to it in some shape or form. And I know that's a lot of what I do. I try to throw as big a net as I can, genre-wise. But if there's something that I don't know about, I'll help you figure it out, and we'll see if we can get it, you know, get it in for you. Because there's so much music out there.
So, and that's another thing about the ease of access, that I feel like you get more ease of access by doing streaming than you would just by, like, going and getting records and things like that. I, being a producer myself and, like, knowing that community, I think it's even affected that community as well, because it used to be, like, you would go get your vinyls and you'd sample from whatever vinyls and stuff. Now it's like there's Splice and there's YouTube and
there's all
these other things you can do that's like so much easier.
Efficient,
You just pay a subscription and you're good. So
what I love about getting into this side of music, when you say you're a producer, some of my favorite albums that would have never caught up into my streams are albums that were made by producers of those. They're just, they're little, like, side project, like, babies that they make. They usually don't, I mean, they get praise from everyone around, but they don't get a lot of traction, like, on, you know, trending and stuff like that. But some of my favorite albums are from that, but it's taking the next step with those. You like a song, you like an artist, binge them on Spotify, but then if you want to make it a little bit more, come in, look for it, enjoy it, look at the liner notes, experience it a little bit more, and know that you purchasing that album, whether it's on their website, at their merch table, or at a smaller independent store, you're getting more money to them. And that, I mean, not everyone, you know, it's a struggle. There's so many people out there trying to get their music out there. So
I definitely agree on that. It's just about giving back, and there's definitely levels to being a fan too. I think it's like surface level fans, they might just hear it and appreciate it, and that's it. But you want to go and just,
if you want to take it further, I'm to a point right now, I like being a record collector now as a shop owner is completely gone off the rails. Like I'm now starting to put full catalogs of bands together. And not in like a fiendish way, but I was like, I do need that. Like, so putting pieces, not buying every album that I see, but starting to really pinpoint holes in my collection. Yeah.
How does, I wanted to ask this question, how does inventory work like here? Because I know, like, for example, inventory here wouldn't be as big as like we said about Amoeba. Obviously their inventory would be
You're talking warehouses. So I wanted to, obviously, new indie, R&B, rock, all of those under that whole umbrella was my focus. I buy directly from the labels that I love and a distributor. I get new releases like every 2 weeks. I'm a low volume store. I'm not going to have everything on Fridays. Mm. It's just not where I'm at yet. My inventory isn't large enough for that. There's smaller shops that come correct with new releases. Blackbird Records in Worcester, Square Up. I mean, they get their stuff in. I haven't gotten to that pace yet. The used stuff, you have to have, in my opinion, you need to have some used vinyl in a record store. Price point wise, it's good to have something that people can throw some extra money. I start at $3 for my used LPs and go up to, you know, some of the rarer stuff. But all of the used stuff is from locals. As soon as I opened those doors, I started getting people that were getting rid of collections, that were purging, or I have people that come in for trade-ins. Mm-hmm. So that used selection is a complete reflection of the area that we're in. Sometimes I'm really proud of it and super excited to share it with. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, it's getting lame over there. So I just,
it's like week to week. It kind of varies, I guess.
Oh, I put used stuff out almost daily. And on my Instagram, I post my flip vids, you know, whenever I have a crate to put out, I put it on there. But I spend most of my day, cleaning and grading and pricing used vinyl. And I've got a lot. So there's always something to do.
Yeah, I was definitely curious about that too, because I'm like, I don't even know how that would work. And you said you're basically the only one doing it all. Yes. So it's got to be a lot.
It is. I enjoy it though. Yeah. And let's be real, man. Like, I've set this place up. It's exactly, it feels good in here. Mm. I get to play records all day and just listen to music. Yeah. So it's really.
The dream?
Kind of. It's very stressful. Yeah. I mean, I'm keeping the lights on and buying new records. But I mean, I told you, I have another job. Mm. Like, it's, I mean, eventually I'd like to get in a place where I can have an employee and pay them fairly and all those types of things. But, you know, it's 3 years baby retail business.
Yeah.
And I know what work needs to be done. And it's not, I mean, again, I'm spinning records and like, surfing Discogs all day.
Yeah.
So. I'm very lucky.
Speaking of Discogs, I was going to get into that too, because that is, you can sell online, right?
Discogs is a record collector's database. You can buy, sell on there. I use it every day. I love Discogs. They run it really well. I know people have had horror stories about it, but I mean, it's shopping on the internet. You got to have your wits about you a little bit. But I use it every day to grade all my albums. When I look at things, you know, I'm looking at Dead Wax numbers, figuring out what press plan it came from to know exactly what I have. I grade visually mostly. If things need to be put on the table, if there's scuffs and stuff that I'll audio grade it. But no, I use Discogs every day and I buy on Discogs. And if people are looking for certain things that I don't have, I know I can get it in a week from Discogs. And their customer support is super nice. Again, these are more people I've met through this that I've just been so impressed with. So,
they
do a bunch for the independent. They have a whole thing on their website about independent stores.
Yeah.
So,
cause I had heard about Discogs, but I never knew kind of what they do, the intricacies of everything. That
When you have a Discogs account, you can enter your full record collection into their database. And it's a good way for people to keep track of their collections. So like when I have people in here looking on their phones, 9 out of 10, they're looking on Discogs to see if they have it in their collection. And it's a really user-friendly, wonderful tool for collectors and then for us on the retail side as well. Yeah. And they push independent shops. So,
Yeah. See what else we haven't gotten into yet.
Okay.
I haven't pulled this out yet, but I'm what else have we not gotten into yet? Yeah, we can kind of go into, like, other than, because obviously you said you juggle this with your other job, and then you have a family and
then
stuff.
I have three kiddos.
Three kids?
Yeah.
So how does that work as far as balancing this with everything else and maintain, is there ever...
I'll be real honest with you, Anthony. I don't know if I've figured all of that out just yet.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's the ebbs and flow of being an adult and then taking on the responsibilities of being a business owner and taking care of your kids and all that kind of stuff. The ebbs and flows of it are always changing. I've learned that you have to be a little bit more open. And, you know, if I have to slap the sign up on the door, like, every once in a while, sure, someone might say something shitty in the comments about that little shop's always closed or something like that, because that's happened. But also, I need to be realistic. Like, my kids get off the bus at a certain time. I got to make money at my other job. Yeah. I have been lucky enough the first 2 years of the shop to pour everything I had into it. And it got me in a good place. And now I'm, like, in that kind of plateau area where I need to... I'm working on that. I think that's a part of it, though. I don't know if I...
Yeah.
Could be too confident about work-life balance when you're still trying to figure it out.
It's like a never-ending journey, kind of. You just kind of just keep going.
And being open to that journey and those new paths that open up is, that takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of maturity. But it also, to take care of yourself. Again, I am here in a space that I created, listening to all my favorite music. Sure, there's some days where no one comes in and it's frustrating, but the next day I'll have a great day, you know? There's no reason to get, like, frustrated about it just yet because it's still a good space and people enjoy themselves when they're here. And if I can carry that into my other job and be chill at home, then it all just kind of works in a nice...
You keep the good energy kind of going throughout every phase of...
Yes, I like a nice, chill, easy, good energy around me.
So what else are you doing other than, like, when you're not doing all those things? Are you reading? Do you go for walks?
I love being outside. Easter, I did a 3-mile hike. I love yoga. There's a little yoga studio right around the corner that's been amazing.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, a lot of meditating, a lot of yoga, a lot of outside. I'm a reader. I'm a podcast listener. I'm not a huge TV watcher, and I really try to keep my phone out of my hands.
Which is hard to do for anybody, I think.
It's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard. But, yeah, and I love to cook and garden and stuff like that. I like being outside.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can go out more when there's not a tornado coming.
I know. I didn't want to sound like a wuss when I was like, hey,
Well, last night I saw, like, the weather, like, report, and people were talking, like, if you live south or you live in Columbus, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
So I was like maybe we'll get some of that. I don't really know. And then I knew that, like, you're southeast of me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it might be
different. No, it's going to be moving. Something's going
to
be moving.
It's probably for the best to do it now. But for everybody listening, there's a tornado warning today. So, that's a thing.
Yeah, we're supposed to get really bad storms.
And not even that, but just warm weather will be nice in the summertime. Yeah. So.
It's strange. Record store day... or record store season, I'm more of a, like, I really think it's a fall winter thing because you're inside and you have time to, whether it's reorganized your collection. I'm busy during the holidays and the winter time, especially after the winter time when people are just kind of down and out. Summertime's a different time. I mean, people, I have to, that's when I do a lot more events and stuff like that. Because ain't nobody inside listening to records when it's nice out.
Unless you're older, I guess.
Maybe,
but...
I know I have a couple of customers, big audio people that have, like, the stereos, projecting outside and stuff like that. So, they're out there.
Yeah. Again, it helps. We live in Ohio. I don't know if by the time it's April, 20th, we said?
Yeah.
It could be snowing. We don't know.
Oh, like, it was so gross out. Yeah. It was cold and rainy, and I felt so bad. There were people waiting in line. It was...
Yeah.
I hope it's nice out.
I hope that, I mean, the people here are tough. They know what to expect.
I know. There was somebody in sandals out there.
Yeah. Like, well, that's absurd at that point. You shouldn't do that. But, right. You know, it is what it is. So. Yeah. All right. I think we can get into the last few questions here. These are ones I ask on every episode. You probably heard
because
you said you listened.
Yeah.
So the first one is, if you could go back 10 years ago, give yourself any advice or maybe not change anything at all, what do you think you would do?
10 years ago would be start paying more attention to your finances.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. No, not, you have, like, as bummer as it is,
yeah,
as you get older and as you put more things on your plate, you just got to be aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah.
Especially owning a business.
Owning a business, like, and property.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, like, college debt that we all had, like, all of those kinds of things, like, just be a little bit more. I would have liked to be a little bit more aware of that. Oh, that's, I know that's kind of a bummer.
No, but I mean, it's a reality check too. So it's like everybody kind of needs that at one time or another. So, but, and if we flip that, then we say 10 years from now, where do you think you envision yourself? This place, all of it.
I like to look more towards the future than the past. Yeah. You could tell my demeanor changed completely.
Probably for the best, I guess.
I hope this shop is running smoothly and the bins are full. I hope I have some help. I've got a 14-year-old daughter, so I'm sure I haven't convinced her just yet that it'd be cool.
Yeah.
I hope to be traveling a little bit more and having a little bit more freedom. I used to love to travel and go to small shops and take in areas. I mean, that's why this place is here. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to get back to that, but still have this place rolling for sure.
Yeah.
And people enjoying it, generations enjoying it. It is, you can have, I get kids from high school straight when and people that are retired that are still looking for, you know, a David Allen Coe album. Mm. Like, it's, you know, like, it's a real good spread. And I hope that that keeps happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And do you have any final words of wisdom today for the listeners?
I like the idea of people being open to, yes, please. Like, how I loved when you just, like, messaged me, this is what I do, here's what I do. Like, and just letting ego go, letting ego go, and just being open to things and collaborating, because it's the only thing that gets you through.
Yeah.
Professionally, personally. But so yeah, I would say letting the ego go and having, like, more of a yes please. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know. That's my nugget.
I don't think I've heard that one, but I love that one, honestly. So I appreciate you for sharing that. So, but Samantha, that's all I have for you.
Awesome.
I appreciate you for letting me come here and do this. And,
I appreciate you, Anthony. Before
we go, though, let people, because, okay, so I will say this. I messed up a little bit. So the episode is going to come out, like, a couple weeks after Record Store.
Okay.
So if you're hearing this, hopefully you went and you supported your local record store.
Yes.
But you can still let people know what you're going to be doing on Record Store Day. Like, what's the event? What's going to be going on?
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook at Erie Street Vinyl. I put everything that I am doing, all the inventory that goes out. But for Record Store Day, I'm going to have a bunch of exclusives from the list. We're going to do some live music. I haven't confirmed the artist just yet, but, and then we're going to have a food truck out front, probably gonna do tattoos again over next door at Art Bomb. And then, like I said, getting everyone around, if you come in shopping from Tremont, if you get a coffee there's boba tea. If you come in with your drink that you got from down here and it was a small business, you get 10% off, not on your Record Store Day stuff, but anything else. So just trying to involve the community.
If you live in, because I know a lot of people, they probably don't live around here, but if you live in Massillon, Canton, Alliance, Stark County area,
I'm shooting, I mean people are starting to figure out where I'm at. I have got my regulars, but I really want to start pulling people down here and join the space.
And if it's past Record Store Day, which it will be,
come
down here eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So,
yes.
Samantha, thank you again.
Thank
I really
you,
appreciate
Anthony.
It. We'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah,
if you're down. So,
yeah, totally.
Awesome. I appreciate it.